Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Friday. Tommy Caster, along with TJ Cleland, in for Jacob Albrock today. Max Power producing the program. You can join us at any time. Max has got the KFH hotline fired up and ready to go at 869-1240. You can also leave us your video comments on all the different ways that you can consume the show on Facebook, YouTube, on X, also on the 12 News Connected app. Leave your video messages right there. We'll get to them throughout the show. You can also leave us a voice comment on the free Odyssey app. All you have to do is click the little microphone button, leave us a voicemail. We can play that back for you on the air. It's a Friday edition of the show. A lot to get to on the program. In our next hour, Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, will join us to break down what the heck is going on with the Kansas City Royals right now after they get swept by the Yankees. They get shut out last night. Final score 1-0 in the finale of that series at Kauffman Stadium. We'll dive into all of that throughout the program, but also talk to Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, in hour number two. We've also got a preview of the NBA Finals Game 4 between the Thunder and the Pacers. We'll continue to follow the U.S. Open and a whole lot more here on a Friday edition of Sports Daily. TJ, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. I can't believe that you're burying the lead here. When are we going to get into the fact that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift were at the Stanley Cup Finals last night?
They were. I kind of wondered how many times the camera would be on them compared to the actual, you know, hockey game. Yeah. I know that happens in football. Like whenever Taylor shows up to a Chiefs game, like that's the main story, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact that, I mean, the gamblers were on them quite a bit during that game last night.
They were. I'd like to think that that wasn't Travis's doing to go watch that hockey game. I'd like to think that Taylor's a big NHL girl and drugged Travis over there. So he's got voluntary OTAs today. Did he fly back in town? Maybe that's the hot headline.
Probably. She strikes me as a hockey fan.
I can see it.
I mean, she's tough enough that, yeah, you know, she could probably lay a guy out, you know, check him right up against the boards.
Yeah, I could see it.
I could see that happening. How you doing this morning? Happy Friday.
I'm doing all right. You know, as I said last time, you know, we did a bunch of these shows during Christmas time. I know you and Jacob were taking time off with the family and everything like that. It's a lot different waking up and driving to the station whenever the sun is out.
It is.
It is a completely different feeling. Whenever you do these in December, it is pitch black outside. So it kind of feels like it's not, you know, before 7 a.m. when I'm driving, which helps. So.
Yeah, that's definitely a big benefit. I know, like, the first morning that I got up and I drove here and I had to put sunglasses on, I'm like, let's roll the windows down. Let's enjoy this beautiful morning, and then we'll pay for it in January when the sun doesn't come up until much later. You've been following U.S. Open?
I have. Yesterday, you know, turned it on too late to apparently miss J.J. Spahn making like 17 20-foot putts or something there at Oakmont. So I know we're going to dig really deep into that. It's crazy watching this Oakmont round. I like watching the videos of the you know, the non-professionals. I watch the Barstool Golf out at Oakmont just to try to gauge what somebody like us would shoot, and I'm sure we'll dive really deep into that.
Did you see?
I'm not going to bury the lead here.
I watched the Grant Horvat Bryan brothers as they, you know, they basically what they did was they tried to score within the cut line the last time the tournament was at the U.S. Open, and there were three of them, and none of them did it. Even Wesley Bryan, who's played on the PGA Tour, I think he's won on the PGA Tour. He was like plus 12 through two rounds.
It's
brutal out there.
It is nuts. It's completely, I don't know. There's definitely different stances. I've argued with a bunch of people about the way that, you know, the perfect golf storm to watch, what's the most entertaining and everything like that. So, we'll definitely dive deep into that. I got a lot of thoughts.
Jacob and I talked about it yesterday, that it might be the first U.S. Open for either one of us in quite a while that we've been able to kind of lock into.
Exactly, I know.
Because it's not opposite of the Wichita Open. Mm-hmm. Typically, we would be at the Wichita Open right now. The Wichita Open is next week as opposed to this week. So able to kind of get dialed in, locked into what's actually happening out at Oakmont this weekend. It's funny, when we went off the air yesterday, J.J. Spahn, I think, was in the lead even early yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And Jacob was like, yeah, I don't know who that guy is. I'm like, you don't know J.J. Spahn? Like, come on. Like, you do have to be way into the PGA Tour to know who J.J. Spahn is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I've definitely, the past four, I think, I've been at the Wichita Open, and I know that they usually do a pretty good job. That they, when you sit in that media room, they have a projector with the scoreboard for the Wichita Open, then they bring in a TV on the rolly cart, and you watch the U.S. Open on that TV. So, consume a lot of golf typically this weekend, so now we're going to get back-to-back consuming golf weekends, and I can't wait for the Wichita Open. You ever bet on the Wichita Open? It's a freaking blast.
I've never bet on it.
Oh my gosh, it's fun. You can only do it pre-round one, so you have to get them in, but it is crazy to sit there and just watch and just say, I have money on this guy standing 5 feet in front of me.
Is it just for winner?
Yeah, like, they do like top five, top ten. Same way you bet. You just can't do the birdie count or anything like that. Right, but you can bet the leaderboard.
We were talking also yesterday on the program that, you know, you mentioned the amateur golfers that go and play the venues like they're doing at Oakmont. We should do that for the Wichita Open next year.
We should
go and do that. Could you get a KWCH camera crew to follow us and play around and have it set up the way that the Wichita Open is set up? We have to play from the tips.
Yeah.
They put the pins in those positions.
You played in the Pro-Am last year, didn't you?
I did.
Did
but
you
I mean,
tip
it's,
out?
It's, no, I didn't tip out. It's a Pro-Am. Like, it's basically a scramble.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. But that'd be fun to do before the Wichita Open. Because, you know, that's a big deal now. Like, amateur golfers, like these influencers are going out and playing these major championship courses, and they're just getting their lunch eight.
Yeah, I used to be a Part 107 drone certified pilot. I need to renew, but I could bring the drone out there.
That'd be cool.
That'd be just like a good video. We'd be good.
Be like the Wichita version of that.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be called Bad, though.
It'd be very bad, very bad. I would imagine it probably wouldn't go particularly well. That's everything coming up on tap here today on the program. What's on tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with locations east, west, and historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. We really appreciate Wichita Brewing Company coming in and being a big part of Sports Daily moving forward as the What's on Tap sponsor. And there is a lot on tap as the show progresses. We've also got some opportunities for you to win some great prizes. We've got some HTO. We'll tell you about how you can win that. And also, speaking of golf and Crestview, we're giving you an opportunity to go play a round for two with Cart at Crestview. This giveaway, TJ, has gone bananas.
I imagine.
I'm not sure we've had another giveaway on this program, on this radio station, that has had the number of entries and the interest level quite like this. And we're doing it every single week in the month of June. every Friday. So today's the day we're going to draw a winner. We drew a winner last week. And I believe the guy's name is Brandon that won a round for two with Card out at Crestview. We will draw another winner later on today as well. So a little bit later on in the program, we'll let you know exactly how you can get your entries in before we do our week number two drawing. And we're doing it every single week. Here in the month of June out at Crestview. Of course, next week we'll be out at the Wichita Open Broadcasting Live, and you're going to be joining us for one of those mornings. You'll be there. We're going to do an entire 4 hours live, both Thursday and Friday, the opening two rounds of the Wichita Open, and I don't remember which day you're joining us.
Friday.
Okay, so next Friday you'll be with us for an entire 4 hours.
I will be. Man, I can't wait. Just digging into the deep storylines of golfers that, you know, 90% of the people in Wichita don't know who they are, but they're going to know by the end of it. I'm pumped. I'm going to be there all 4 days doing coverage in some way, shape, or form. So it's going to be a big weekend of golf. And no kidding, this is probably the most popular one. I want to submit myself, but I was told I can't do it.
You know, I think that the biggest thing with the Wichita Open is that, you know, it becomes such a huge spectacle in Wichita. You've got people that don't even care about golf that are coming out and enjoying it. So we'll get more into that over the next week or so. And like I mentioned before, tell you how you can win a round for two plus cart out at Crestview a little bit later on in the program. We are just getting underway here on a Friday edition of Sports Daily. On the other side, we'll dive into the Royals, try to diagnose what the heck is going on with them, getting swept by the Yankees. That and a whole bunch more on a Friday edition of Sports Daily. Max Power producing. TJ Cleland to my right. I'm Tommy Caster. We'll be right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily on a Friday. Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland, Max Power producing the program. Royals baseball tonight on KFH. The A's are in town this weekend taking on the Royals. Tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH tonight at 7 o'clock for the Royals and Athletics. Or listen online at kfhradio.com or download the free Odyssey app and search for KFH. The Royals have to have a short memory, TJ, getting swept by the Yankees in a three-game set. They turn around and start their series against the Athletics tonight at Kauffman Stadium to try to salvage this homestand. Not only did they lose three games to the Yankees, I think to an extent, I think the Royals were exposed a little bit as a team that, you know, is not a postseason caliber team like we maybe thought they were. Yeah. Not saying they can't make the postseason, but it was pretty clear and on display how much better the New York Yankees are than the Kansas City Royals in this three-game series.
Yeah, it's kind of exactly what I was going to say, is that, you know, they've had their flaws, but when you play the highest payroll in baseball and one of the best teams in baseball, it magnifies everything that you do wrong. It magnifies the fact of, you know, your pitching was able to carry you to a lot of wins, but when are you pitching good enough to face the best offense in the league, face one of the best hitters in the history of baseball, the clip that Aaron Judge is on right now. And then with the offensive struggles, you know, obviously we've seen it multiple times, but to, you know, put up five hits, no runs yesterday, we're a broken record talking about it at this point, and I feel like we're going stir crazy because nothing's changed.
Yeah, it was another outing where the pitching was let down for the Royals. Seth Lugo pitched 5 2/3, only gave up two hits. He walked three, but it was another stellar outing from a Royal starter after two games with Noah Cameron and Chris Bubich where they were hit hard by the Yankees offense. Seth Lugo held down New York's lineup. I know Aaron Judge was not in the lineup last night for the Yankees, but still, that's a pretty stacked lineup for the Yankees. And Seth Lugo, and by that matter also, the bullpen. All the pitchers for the Royals pitched really, really well. In fact, the one run for the Yankees was an unearned run. But the Royals could not get anything going with their offense. And Jacob and I had this conversation yesterday, and actually it actually got heated for a while in this discussion back and forth yesterday, because I'm a big believer that at the end of the day, the bottom line is that the Royals offense has not changed at all. It's not improved at all outside of the first three games against the Cardinals when Jack Caglione got called up, and you had all the excitement, all the pomp and circumstance for him and his debut. After that, the Royals offense as a whole, collectively, just went right back to where they have been basically all season long. They were outscored by the Yankees 17-5 in this three-game set. That ain't going to get the job done. Mm-hmm. That's not a playoff-caliber team. Now, you might have had really good pitching from Seth Lugo in the bullpen, but when you've held down your opponents, and I don't care who they are, if they're the Rockies or the Yankees, if you're holding them down and pitching shutout baseball and the one run comes unearned and you can't get a single run across, and keep in mind, too, this was the third game in a three-game set. The Royals needed this to avoid the sweep, and that didn't even matter.
Yeah, it's unreal because we've had this conversation for 2 months now. Jacob brought up a stat yesterday that I believe last month the Royals averaged like 2.8 runs per game. And if you say that and you give me the Royals scoring three runs a game, they would have won 10 more games probably.
Absolutely.
Like, that's how unreal bad. Like, they were only averaged three runs a game because they'd score 10 randomly, sporadically. That's how, like, you know, hit and miss this offense has been. And it's the same thing right now. I don't know. Like, you brought up the postseason. Like, right now, I was talking to Jacob about it yesterday. I've been talking to a bunch of people that if they don't turn around what's going on right now, even with the wins that they're getting in these series, like, I don't think they're a playoff team, especially when you look at their division. So I would go as far as to say, you know, they're below 500 after last night's loss, that if it's getting closer to trade deadline and they're a below 500 team by, you know, multiple games, I think that they're going to sell.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question because I'm not sure I've fallen to that camp quite yet. I certainly don't think with the way that they're playing right now that they need to go all in and buying.
Yeah.
But I almost think that, at least as of now, I mean, if the trade deadline was today, I think J.J. Piccolo just stands pat. I don't think he makes any
probably
changes. I and that may not. I think it would have to take either a tremendous streak that they go on in a positive way, yeah, or they lose a bunch of games between now and the trade deadline and things fall off a cliff for them to go either direction. But as it stands right now, you're playing like a mediocre at best ball club collectively, holistically. I just don't think that you're in a position to buy or sell right now. I think that, you know, you just basically hold firm. I mean, yeah, like you'd love to have another bat in the lineup. You'd love to have another four bats in the lineup. You'd probably love to have bullpen reinforcements. Where things got heated between Jacob and I yesterday was he gave the thought that maybe the Royals need to prioritize starting pitching. I'm like, no, they don't. It was one bad outing from Noah Cameron, one bad outing from Chris Bubich. But Seth Lugo showed, last night why this rotation overall as a whole is the strongest part of their entire team. So I don't think you're prioritizing that if you're going to go be a buyer at all at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I do agree with the fact that, you know, to think that the starting pitching can carry you to anything, it's not true. Like the clip that they went on, you think about the winning streak and how just unbelievable the Royals were in that stretch in late April, early May, whenever that was, because there was seven shutouts in a 14-game span. Like it's unfathomable to think about what that pitching staff did, and it's not attainable to keep doing. It's kind of the same thing. Like last year, the Royals were winning so many games with like two runners left on. Like they were just unreal at hitting with runners in scoring position. Now this year, it's obviously completely different.
Yeah.
So just what they're doing isn't attainable to continue success whenever they've had their success.
Well, shoot, we talked about that stat yesterday too. I believe that in 2024, they had like a 282 batting average with runners in scoring position. It was like second best in the league. Yeah. Their average with runners in scoring position, I think, is like 211 right now.
Abysmal. Yeah.
It's dropped 70 percentage points from one season to the next. They went from one of the most clutch teams in Major League Baseball a season ago, and that's why they made the playoffs, to one of the most unclutch teams. Actually, maybe the most unclutch team in Major League Baseball. Here's the other thing, too, TJ. I can understand on Tuesday night you losing a game to Max Fried. Right, I've been a Max Fried fan ever since he came up with Atlanta. He's a dominant pitcher. He's got filthy stuff. I can understand being held down by him. Not a knock on these other two guys, but you took on Clark Schmidt and Will Warren, and they shut you out. I cannot reconcile that. I cannot wrap my head around that.
Yeah, like I honestly at this point, like I don't know what you do as an offense. You know, we've talked about, you know, the bringing up Cags, and you know, he's kind of struggled so far, but you know, whatever, he's 22. Do you go get a corner outfield bat? Like, what do you do? There's nothing you can do at the trade deadline to fix like a systemic problem here. Like, I don't know what the problem is of why they can't score runners. Even the games that they'll put up 11 hits, they just can't hit with runners in scoring position. So I'm sure there's some bad luck that goes into this. I'm sure there's some maybe like some bad approach things. But I don't know. What do you do? Like, I'm honestly at a loss at this point.
I have dangled this scenario out a couple of different times. It's been a minute. It's probably been, 3 weeks. It probably goes back to when the Royals had that stretch of games where they were basically just getting shut out. You know, when was that? Like mid-May when that was going on? Was probably the last time that I dangled this name out there. But a guy by the name of Alec Zumwalt is the hitting coach for this team. You got to shake something up at this point. I don't know the inner workings of the way that, you know, the hitting coach works with the players and exactly, you know, what his responsibilities are, how much of the fault falls on his shoulders and all of that. But you almost need a fall guy at this point, right? You almost need somebody to fall on their sword. And you never want to advocate for somebody to lose their job. But at this point right now, I mean, again, you scored 5 runs in 3 games against the New York Yankees, against a team that you faced in the playoffs a year ago, against a team that going into this season, you felt like you could go up against again in the playoffs. With that sweep, with that loss last night, the Royals are now under 500. And the momentum that they had has been completely squandered. I don't know how much like the firing of a hitting coach can spark things and turn things around, but you've tried to call up your stud. That's one thing you've done. You've moved players individually that have not performed up to standards. MJ Melendez, Hunter Renfroe, Kevin Biggio. They've moved those guys. They've been willing to do that sort of thing. What's the next step? I mean, I think it's probably you need to make a change at hitting coach.
Yeah, that's what you'd think. But even the weirdest part of it is, which is just such a baseball thing, is that they have – I mean, their lineup consists of six good hitters. And, like, they all have, you know, semi-decent stats at the plate. They just are so untimely of when they get these hits. Like Jack Caglione has – I think he's got like 9 hits so far and 2 RBIs. Like, that's just kind of the epitome of what Royals baseball has been so far. So, yeah, I don't know. I honestly think, like, I don't know, as trade deadline approaches, you know, if Chris Bubich can keep up what he's doing, like, I have really no problem trading Chris Bubich for something. Like,
really?
I would trade Chris Bubich. I know that, you know, Noah Cameron has been floated around to be got a trade bait thing just because they've got so much starting pitching. So, I don't know. I mean, they're paying Reagans and Lugo and Waka. You know, Bubich right now is not on the payroll for what he should be the way that he's pitching. If he can keep this up, you know, people are going to – and he's still relatively young. So, I'd say that you could get something nice for Chris Bubich. So, if they're not going to be in a spot – if they're still in fourth place and the Central in a couple games below 500, you know, it's not going to do any good to have a stellar pitching staff to try to climb out of a, you know, 6-game hole to try to make the third wild card spot. And then you're not even, you know, technically in the – you're in the playoffs, but you're not in the playoffs if you have a third wild card spot, in my opinion. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's one thing to take on a team that, you know, is maybe middle of the road in the American League and, you know, see what that series looks like, and you can be frustrated by it. But when you're taking on a team like the Yankees, and you know you're never going to have the payroll that they do, but you also feel like you can compete with them, or you should be competing with them from top to bottom, and they smack you around. And they've smacked the Royals around in recent history. That was 8 consecutive games that the Yankees have beat the Royals.
That's crazy.
8 consecutive games. The other thing that I think that is incredibly concerning, and we'll talk to Jalen Thompson about this too in our second hour, the Royals have lost 11 of their last 14 home games.
That's crazy.
They're not winning at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah.
You need to win at Kauffman Stadium, and they're not able to do that. And I think that's almost as concerning as anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just no way to pin what you want to do with this, so I don't know. I was at the K on Tuesday. I watched Caglione's debut. I was up there covering that with Jalen Thompson. I don't know what his average is at right now. What's your level of concern with Caglione? We're still talking about the Royals.
Yeah, it's nothing. Like, it's a zero. You know, they brought him up for a reason. I think now you give him the longest leash imaginable. Because the worst thing the Royals can do is to start to get impatient with him through a week and a half in the bigs. And then you start messing with him and you get in his head. And you could really screw up a kid's development that way. And that was the risk of bringing him up early. That was the risk of bringing him to the big leagues. I think he'll be fine as long as he's kind of left alone.
Yeah.
But I remember on this program, when he was called up, I remember saying very specifically, Royals fans, you can be excited about Caglione, but he also is not going to cure what ails this team. Mm-hmm. He is one guy in the lineup. And he's what? How old is the guy?
22?
He's 22 years old, and he's played in the major leagues for a week and a half. Yep. He is not going to be the white knight riding in on his horse to save the day. I, outside of Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani, I'm not sure that there's an individual player out there that can turn around a fortune of a team like that. And that's not Jack Caglione right now.
Yeah,
that's okay. That's perfectly okay. The worst thing that can happen is when, you know, if they start to put undue pressure on his shoulders, or he starts pressing, or he starts, you know, not being natural, like all of that.
Yeah.
So my level of concern is nothing. I feel like he needs the longest leash possible.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I definitely think he needs to play every day. I think he needs to play in the outfield every day and just, you know, continue his development at the big league, just do what he was doing in AAA. But, you know, the hard part about this is I know that J.J. Piccolo was very adamant that he didn't want to call him up for a team that was struggling for this reason. You know, he wanted to call up a guy that would be on a good team that wouldn't have to bear any load of any sort and just go do his thing while the team didn't really need him. And unfortunately, that's just not the case right now. And so I think that the pressure, you know, unconsciously has gone towards him to do something. Obviously, whatever he did, it still wouldn't be enough for the recent struggles. So I think that Caglione may be pressing himself a little bit, which he would never say and nobody else would ever say. But, you know, like the final at bat last night, you know, did you watch the final at bat last night? I mean, he took a 95 mile an hour fastball down the middle because he was just, it honestly seemed like he was surprised that he got a fastball.
Right.
Which I don't blame
him. Surprised that he got something to hit.
Yeah, because he doesn't. Like, he gets so many changeups and sliders and everything because nobody wants to throw him a high fastball, and he got it. Took it, strike three, game over. Like, I feel like he's just kind of got the pinwheels in his mind spinning way too fast right now, and he just needs to get the first home run to get out of the way so he can stop thinking. Because I, like, right now is the probably the lowest batting average that he's hit maybe in his life. Like, that's the craziest part about that.
Did they have Joel Goldberg up in right field the entire game too? Like, every time Cags went up to bat. I know that the players don't care about the broadcast, like, whatever. That's the stupidest thing in the world. Like, if you want to talk about pressure, you want to talk about just like this team is losing games and they're getting embarrassed by the Yankees. You don't need a guy perched out in right field every time Cags goes to bat, hoping that he gets his first major league home run. That's not the priority.
Yeah. I don't know. It's frustrating. I mean, like, even there on Tuesday night, I was going live after the game, you know, needed some like locker room and everything like that. And it's just like, you know, what do you talk about? You know, because like Caglione is the excitement of this team. And, you know, he went 1-for-4, but it's like there's so much other disappointment going on that, you know, I don't know. It just feels like it's the shiny toy that's just kind of like thrown in with the rest right now. And I don't know. He needs to get the first home run. The Royals need to win a series. Again, I guess they won the Cardinal series, but need to win a home series. I guess I'll say that.
Yeah, they do. It's been a very disappointing week for the Royals when they had, you know, the opportunity to sort of, I think, solidify themselves as a potential postseason team in the American League. But as of right now, they are 10.5 games out of first place in the AL Central, and they're 2 games back of third place.
That's the worst part about this is the fact that they're not out of the wild card chase yet, but they're behind 3 teams in their own division that they're going to play 100 more times. So it's like everything is magnified by that, and the fact that, you know, they're not chasing the Tampa Bay Rays and stuff like that. Like, if they get in, they play the Twins in the playoffs, and they probably are going to lose 60 of 100 to the Twins the way that things are going. So it's like, even if they make the playoffs right now, with the way that their division is, I mean, they need to be second place in the division to be a real shot at doing something in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, look, the you can look at it glass half full or glass half empty. They play a lot of divisional opponents from here on out, and so you can either get out of it really quickly or you can get yourself right back in very quickly, like that, because of the inner division matchups and everything that they've got coming up. But it starts this weekend with the Athletics, or it continues this weekend with the Athletics. At least you can maybe view this as a little bit of a palate cleanser, hopefully, fingers crossed, after the juggernaut of the Yankees. You take on an Athletics team that, I mean, what should the expectation be? 2 of 3? Should you, or I mean, obviously a sweep, so you can get out of the homestand even, but I mean, should that be the expectation, to win 2 of 3? Or I mean, I don't know.
If the Royals lose this series and need to sell back the Asperia campus they bought for the new ballpark, don't build a new ballpark if you can't win the series against the Oakland Athletics.
Absolutely. Let's get you a U.S. Open update here. So J.J. Spahn is the clubhouse leader right now at 4 under. He won't tee off for his second round until a little bit later this morning. Brooks Koepka is 1 under, and he is 3 under overall. So 1 under on his day, 3 under overall, and 1 shot back from J.J. Spahn. He is on his 5th hole right now, so 1 under through 5. Thriston Lawrence, who played yesterday evening, yesterday morning, he's 3 under as well. He'll tee off this afternoon, so he's also 1 back from J.J. Spahn. Some other notable names on the leaderboard: John Rahm is even par. He is underway in his second round, 1 over in his second round. So is Victor Hovland, so is Colin Morikawa. And then you've got to go down a little bit further on down through the list to find some more notable guys that, of course, we follow pretty closely. Scottie Scheffler is 2 over. He's 1 under so far on his second round. Jordan Spieth is 2 over par as well. It looks like as of right now, the projected cut line is 4 over par, and that could move as the day goes on. But there are a bunch of notable players that you know, a lot of people know of that at least are outside of that cut line here early on day number 2. So it's going to be a challenge and a battle out there.
Let me tell you, Sam Stevens, 1 stroke lead on Scottie Scheffler right now.
I love that. I love that. Wichita native Sam Stevens in the field. He had a pretty good start to his day yesterday, kind of faltered a little bit, you know, down the stretch.
Kind of, he hit some bogeys on the front, right. And then he birdied.
Then he birdied on the way in. But he is inside the projected cut line right now to play the weekend, which would be fantastic. And then Gary Woodland, that's who I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Gary Woodland started off phenomenal yesterday, and he struggled down the stretch. I think he shot a 41 on the back nine yesterday afternoon, and that sort of took him out of the mix, at least early on in the tournament. So we'll see a couple of our local guys in the mix and, you know, trying to play for the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. A ton of fun. You know, you and I were talking about this earlier, just the way that Oakmont set up everything like that. They're saying it's the hardest golf course of all time, potentially, in U.S. Open history. What's your take on Oakmont? You think you like it whenever it's like this? What do you think?
I do. I mean, I think that that's what we've come to expect from the U.S. Open. Extremely difficult venues. Really challenging golf. The way they set the golf course up makes it really hard. And I know that there are critics out there that say, we don't want to watch players have to hack out of ankle deep rough or calf deep rough and make triple bogeys. And, you know, but I like it because we see these guys put on dazzling performances week in and week out on the PGA Tour and shoot crazy scores under par and things like that. It's nice for 1 week for it to be an extremely difficult test. It should be. It's major championship golf. You can't really do a whole lot to Augusta. Mm-hmm. Like, Augusta is Augusta. They're not going to, you know, give you calf-deep rough at Augusta. The PGA Championship, historically, is usually slightly easier than the other championship venues. You got to have, like, a really, really tough test in the U.S. Open.
Yeah, it's fair. It's definitely a different pace of everything. You know, I definitely understand the argument of, I'd say myself, I'd much rather watch Scotty do what he did at the Byron Nelson and what 31 under or something like that. I think that's the best.
You'd rather watch that?
I think so. I that's the best part of professional golf is just seeing just how unbelievable they can play. And so, like, here, I mean, JJ Spawn played unbelievably yesterday. And, like, in relative to, you know, other tournaments, it's the same because he shot at 66 and, you know, we've seen guys go below, like, break 60. Obviously, a crazy run from him yesterday. It is a ton of fun to get to watch just, like, how tough this is once you see somebody really implode on a hole, because that'll show you how impressive everybody else is. So, yeah, there's definitely give and take. I think it's cool to have it one time a year, but I don't know. I go back and forth on it, I think.
I also think it's a beautiful golf course.
It is,
I mean,
sweet.
With the church pew bunkers and all of that, man, it is. Oakmont is not only super difficult, but it's also beautiful. And that's the thing, too, is that I think it'd be different if the golf course wasn't aesthetically pleasing and it was super difficult. But it's not. Like, you kind of have to appreciate the fact that, no, like, Oakmont was built to be very difficult with really super narrow fairways and greens that, like, you could easily four-putt on, you know, or five-putt on if you aren't careful. I like that kind of setup. And I wouldn't want them to play Oakmont every single year for the U.S. Open. Yep. Don't get me wrong. But every 8 or 9, 10 years, whatever, whenever they come back to Oakmont, I'm like, all right, it's about time.
It is.
It's about time for them to get their butts kicked a little bit.
It is crazy to think about a sport where there's so much history and so much, you know, statistical keeping and everything like that, about legacy and everything like that, that and it's just golf. I'm not complaining about anything here. But the fact that you can go from playing a really easy track to playing Oakmont, and it's like, wow, Scottie Scheffler won this one with a 1 under, like, and then this guy won one with a 15 under. It's like, what happened that year? And, like, you know, so it's just kind of crazy, the parity between the courses you can have year to year and stuff like that. So I don't know. Next question I have for you.
Yeah.
We were talking about this. What would you shoot there? First, what would you shoot if you played the championship tips at Oakmont? And then two, what would you shoot playing the whites? How confident are you in your game?
Not enough to
if
do
I was
anything
playing the,
at Oakmont.
If I was playing the tips, I think I'd probably shoot like a 155.
I mean, I think that's probably fair for you. I think if I played the tips at Oakmont, I would be fortunate to get out of there with a 120.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking as. And then I think if you played the whites, like, I think I could have a chance to break like a 110. You'd be breaking like a 95, shooting a 90.
I don't know about that. I think if I played from the whites at Oakmont, I would be fortunate to break 100.
Yeah.
It's probably like 105. I bet I would shoot 105
my thinking,
from the
this
whites
is, this is
and
my
125
thinking,
from the tips.
Is that it's not far off to just try to double bogey every hole. Even if you put your drives in the rough, you just punch out and then just hit a good approach
shot.
Yeah,
but there's a 300-yard par 3.
Yeah, those are tough.
The par fives are like 650 yards.
That,
like,
is a good point. I haven't factored that part in, I guess.
Yeah, like they are long, long courses. Yeah,
that's what I was. Long holes. I like picking on Jacob. I asked him. I said, "Hey, you know the 280-yard par three? What club you hitting there?" He said, "I'd take my driver and I'd lay up."
Yeah. So I know a guy, and I'm not gonna, you know, share his name, but this was years ago out at Crestview. He got a hole in one on one of the par threes with his driver. It was into the wind, and it probably was the hole. It was like 185 or 190. It was probably playing 210, 215 into the wind, and he took driver. And I always wondered, like, when you tell people you made a hole in one, do you tell them that you hit driver, or do you just say, "Oh, I hit a hole in one," and hope they don't ask?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting question. So. Yeah. Yeah, crazy week of golf. Going to be a ton of fun the way the leaderboard's shaping up. You know, you think about the fact that Brooks Koepka is one off the lead right now. Like, that's a name we haven't seen really competing for majors. You think about Ben Griffin and what he's done recently. John Rahm back in the top 10. Scottie Scheffler within striking distance. Like, this is going to be like a big name finish, it feels like.
Well, we just heard from our winner of the giveaway in the first week for Crestview. Brandon left a comment on our video stream, said, "Wanted to chime in and thank Sports Daily and Crestview for the round of golf. You'll catch me out there, David Hasselhoffing, and in the drop zone, but it'll be a good time."
What does that mean?
He's playing from the sand. He's in the sand. He's David Hasselhoffing.
David, I've heard that one before.
So I love that. Brandon, hope you enjoy the round, and we appreciate you entering. You've got your chance to win that giveaway. We're going to do another drawing later this afternoon, so you can text the keyword golf, G-O-L-F, to 20357 for your chance to win a free round of golf for two plus cart out at Crestview Country Club. And of course, we always appreciate Crestview being a supporter of the program. We're going to get into the NBA Finals in our second hour. Before we take our final break of hour number one here, TJ, we got to mention this briefly. The whole Antonio Brown situation that came down last night is wild. The more I read about it, the more it makes sense, because Antonio Brown is a maniac. But if you missed the news, he is being sought after for an attempted murder charge from an altercation that happened at a boxing event a month ago. Is that right?
I have no idea. Something. I know it had something to do with like a stream too. Like, there's tons of video of the altercation happening. And so I don't know. It's crazy. I literally, like, my jaw was dropped. I was sitting in my car after I got off work last night, and that ESPN notification popped up. And I said, "You got to be kidding me. Like, he's wanted for, like, how many pro athletes have been wanted for murder? Like, that's an unbelievable headline."
Yeah, not a lot of them, I would imagine. The warrant that's out for his arrest right now shows a charge of attempted murder with a firearm, and it instructs Brown to post a $10,000 bond and remain on house arrest until trial. Yeah, I remember when the whole boxing event happened and he was detained because he put out a statement saying that he got jumped. And people were trying to steal his jewelry and things like that. And now it sounds like, at least allegedly, maybe that didn't happen.
Yeah, it's unbelievable stuff. And to think, like, everybody talked about Antonio Brown and how crazy he is on Twitter and on social media and just – walking off the field in this final, like, everything has gone just so awry for that dude. Like, how good he used to be. Like, he was unbelievable as a player. Like, it was nuts watching Antonio Brown play, and now it's this, and it's just, nobody's even going to remember how good of a player he was.
I mean, I certainly think, and maybe, I don't know if you agree with this or not, I think that through the first, 5 years he was in the NFL, like, he was on pace to probably be a Hall of Famer in the way that, I mean, he was so talented and he was putting up the stats, and like he was the best wide receiver in the game, and then just totally went off the rails.
Yeah. Rick wanted to remind us of O.J. Simpson, little known running back that was wanted for murder.
You know, I'd forgotten about
that. I did.
No, yeah, you can't forget about that. there are a few, like Ray Lewis, right? Like, there's there are a ones. Handful of players in professional sports that have been accused of murder before. Antonio Brown can now add his name to the list. He didn't kill anybody. It was attempted murder. I mean, I want to make that very clear.
We're going to get sued.
Yeah, he didn't murder. It's attempted murder. But at least as of now, from what I'm reading from ESPN, they still don't have him. Like, he's not in custody. Yeah. So they're seeking to find
him. That's the craziest part of the story, is that there's a manhunt for a former wide receiver All-Pro.
They're looking for Antonio. I shouldn't laugh and make light of this, but man, that guy just fell off a cliff, and he is bizarre. If you follow him on social media, on X, he is all over the place.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Clearly, there are some issues there That came down last night, Antonio Brown being sought for attempted murder. I certainly didn't have that on my bingo card for a Friday, that's for sure. That's going to wrap up hour number one here on Sports Daily. On the other side, we'll get into the NBA Finals. We'll also talk to our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, about what ails the Royals right now. We'll do that in our second hour. Stick around. It's Sports Daily. We're coming right back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.